Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. My name is Mariana, and I'm with the Central Valley Health Policy Institute at California State University, Fresno. And today I'm presenting on how policy barriers to healthcare access fuel discriminatory treatment and the role of promotoras in overcoming malos tratos. I want to acknowledge that my colleague and principal investigator of this project is here with me. So both of us will be happy to answer any questions that you might have. Tania Pacheco. I have no relationships to disclose. But before I continue on, I'd like to define two terms that I'll be constantly using throughout the presentation. The first one being promotores de salud, or community health workers, people from the community working for their own community. Also, malos tratos, which we define as poor treatment based on systemic barriers to healthcare access. So back in 2006, we received funding from the Latino Center for Medical Education and Research and from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid to conduct an investigation to identify the barriers that Latinos in Central California, documented Latinos and Latino citizens face when seeking healthcare services in Central California. Later on, in 2008, we received additional funding from Kaiser Permanente, but this time to work with undocumented Latinos. So what I'd like to accomplish by the end of this presentation is to demonstrate how policy discrimination affects people's decisions to the point that these decisions become barriers themselves in the health-seeking process, and also to explain how promotora intervention can be helpful in overcoming these barriers. So the methods we utilize, first, we focus on those policies that affect access to healthcare for those residents in Central California. And we observed policy briefs online and also observed the indigent care programs of California, such as the CMSP and MISP. Then we conducted 8 in-depth interviews with promotoras and obtained qualitative data from the participants in both of the interventions. And finally, the interventions, the CMS and Kaiser Permanente, which consisted of 5 main elements. The first one being promotora training, the second one, community outreach, the third one, baseline survey. During the baseline survey, the participants, the promotoras identified the participants' barriers to access. Then the 4th element, participant follow-up, and here's where the promotoras would refer them to different sources based on their needs, on the participants' needs. And finally, a follow-up survey. And here we identify whether the referrals had been successful and whether the intervention was successful. So the way we analyzed the data, first we conducted exclusionary criteria for the policies. And this was for us to identify the bureaucratic structures of the policies, their funding mechanisms, the type of coverage they offered, and also to identify the criteria they utilized for including recent Latino immigrants and undocumented Latinos. And then we also conducted grand theory, and this was for us to identify the process that participants had to follow in order to obtain the services, and to identify the malos tratos that they experienced throughout this process. And then finally, we conducted various analyses to assess the promotora intervention, but for the purpose of this presentation, I'm only presenting the descriptive statistics and bivariate analysis. So this is what we found. We found that in Central California, residents have access to, or they could be eligible to different programs at all levels from the county, state, national, and even international level. However, when looking closer at what these programs offered, we found that undocumented Latinos most of the time are eligible for services that are limited in funding, and therefore, they have limited service that they can choose from. Most of the times, these are emergency services or some type of educational services. So that prevents them from really establishing a medical home. The case for documented participants was a little bit different because they would be eligible for programs that have more funding, and therefore they could have access for more services, and this offered them a greater opportunity to establish a medical home. However, that process is very difficult for them, as I will explain later on. So then we wanted to take an in-depth look at the indigent care programs available in Central California. And we found that 4 out of the 8 counties in Central California do not offer services for undocumented immigrants. And also we found that the maximum coverage, maximum length of coverage these programs offered was 3 or 6 months for most programs. So that for someone who has a chronic disease or needs a long-term treatment might not be the best option, but this could be the only option they have available. And then we also found that only 2 counties, Fresno and Kern County, offer some type of equal services for both documented and undocumented participants. So then, once we identify the policy limitations, we wanted to know what is the process that participants go through when they actually are eligible for these programs. And these are just 2 examples. Let me read the first one. And the first one refers to the application step of the process. 2 months ago, I had medical coverage. I don't qualify now. Supposedly, I'm eligible for healthy families. I left 2 messages, and I'm waiting for the response. The second quote refers to the follow-up step of the process. I go to the clinic, but it's hard for me to get my medication. I don't have my own doctor. Every time I make an appointment, I have a different doctor see me. So looking at this qualitative data, we came up with the 13-step process that we categorized into 3 different areas, the first one being pre-care. And during pre-care, it's basically from the moment they are looking for information on where to apply for services until the moment they make an appointment. During care is from the moment they get ready for their appointment to the moment they get their diagnosis. And then post-care from the moment of prognosis until the moment of follow-up with their treatment. And what we found is that at different steps of this process, our participants were experiencing malos tratos. So that was affecting their utilization and retention of services, and this was preventing them from establishing a medical home. So what were these malos tratos? And these are 2 examples. I'll read the first one. If I'm sick, I just wait until I go to Mexico. One time I fell sick and I went to the ER and I had to pay $6,000. I would not like to go to MISP. My sister tried to apply there and they asked her if she owned a car. My sister said she was still paying the car, and they told her that if she had enough money to pay for a car, she should have enough money to pay for private health insurance. Then the second quote, people scare me when they say I can lose my visa if I apply for any program. So looking at this type of data, we came up with 4 main themes for malos tratos, the first one being past personal or relative experience. And this one refers to the negative experience that they had throughout the health-seeking process, either the participants themselves or someone they knew. So when this happened, they stopped the health-seeking process at that moment. They didn't want to go back to receive the services because of the negative experience, like the example I mentioned about MISP and the lady who tried to get that insurance, but they told her that she had enough money to buy a private insurance. Then the information theme, and this one basically referred, our participants either had a lack of information, they didn't know where to apply, what type of coverage they had, who to talk to regarding their health status, or when they had information, it was too misleading or too intimidating to the point that they were scared of affecting their immigration status or affecting their immigration sponsor. Then the civility deemed, that one refers to the extent to which these participants were being treated with dignity. And we found that there was a lot of rude and poor treatment when they were seeking these services. And they perceived this as being as feeling treated less than for being Hispanics. And then finally, treatment versus care. And that one referred to how our participants were being treated based on the type of coverage they had or the type of program they were eligible for, but not so much on the type of need they had. For example, we had a participant who was eligible for free services at an AFQHC, but at some point she had to get some labs done, and the program didn't cover for those services, and she didn't have the money to pay for those services. So at that point, she had to stop her health-seeking process. So once identifying the limitations and the barriers of our participants, we wanted to know how successful is the Promotora in addressing these barriers. So these are the samples that the Promotoras worked with in both of the studies. But I would like to focus on the last two characteristics because of the limited time. The first one, immigration status. Most of the CMS participants were U.S. citizens, not U.S. residents, but U.S. citizens. In the case of Kaiser Permanente, they were most of them were undocumented immigrants. In the case, we also asked, how long have you lived in the United States? And the CMS participants reported an average of 36 years compared to 8 years of Kaiser Permanente participants. So as you can see, even though the samples were very different, they were still facing the same barriers. And this is the population or the samples that Promotoras work with. So how did we measure whether the Promotora intervention was successful or not? We identified four indicators, health indicators, and measure them at baseline and then after the intervention. The first indicator is whether the participants were enrolled in health insurance. The second, whether they had a source of care. The third, whether they had received preventive care. And the fourth, how efficacious, self-efficacious they were when seeking healthcare services. And we found that for both interventions from baseline to follow-up, these indicators improved. So we wanted to know whether this change was statistically significant, and for that we ran a pair t-test, and we found that all of the changes from baseline to follow-up were statistically significant. So given those findings, we can conclude that Promotoras can successfully address issues around information, trust, and self-efficacy. However, then they cannot address or change the framework under which people seek health services. They cannot change the patient-doctor relationship. They cannot change the policies that determine access and procedures. And they cannot change the affordability of services. So given that, we would like to recommend that there's more research and policies addressing the effects that exclusionary politics have on the health-seeking process of Latino immigrants and also Latino residents, citizens. And also, we would like to recommend that the institutionalization of Promotoras into the health system, given that Promotora model has proven to be an effective model in addressing especially those issues that the Latino community is very has experienced a lot, like the information efficacy and trust especially. So that concludes my presentation. If you have any questions, I guess we'll answer them after the rest of the. Thank you.